that everybody knows in Rosh Hashanah and Pes Zayin and Mabez. Gemara is really a statement from Rabbi Yitzchak, and it goes on from there. So the line is like this: Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein Danin is the Adam Alati Ma'isav Shol Seshah. A person is only judged according to his deeds at that moment in time, according to what he's doing right then. Shemar Kisham Alakim Al Kol Anar Basher Husham, as the pasuk says by Yishmol, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu listened to the voice of the child as he was right there. Afilu Asid Larshia Lacharzman. Even if he's going to be a Rasha at some future point in time, you're not judged according to what's going to be. You're only judged according to what you are right there at that moment. Now that's a famous Gemara. That's a famous Gemara that everybody knows. Basher Husham. It's quoted by Rashi and Parshas Chayisara. That's famous in and of itself. What that means, Tzvayir, actually, what that means is that, again, a person is not judged according to what's going to be in the future, even if it's pashat, even if it's obvious that this guy is going to sin, is going to be terrible. Yishmael and his children were going to do terrible things to Klal Yisrael. And in fact, our last gullus is going to be a gullus Yishmael. Had Yishmael been killed right then, had he died right there as he was dying of thirst anyway in the desert, without a miracle sent specifically by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yishmael would have been dead. There would be no Yishmaelim. There would be none of them. There would be no problems in our fifth gullus, so to speak. There would be no issues of a brotherly right to having Yerushalayim. None of it would have existed. Nonetheless, a Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at him and says, right now, what is Yishmael? Right now, as he's dying of thirst in the Midbar, is he a tzaddik or is he a rasha? He's a tzaddik. And he's a tzaddik who needs help. Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, at that moment, he deserves to be saved. So that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to judge us. The Rabbeinu Hanano brings down Yerushalmi. Before we get to that Yerushalmi, I'm going to say a little bit of a story that happened to me years ago. My wife and I stayed, this before we had kids, we stayed by one of her Rebbeim's house, one of her Rebbeim from seminary. I should say her seminary teacher, who also, her husband also taught in the seminary. And we stayed by their house. And we got into a bit of a discussion at the Shabbos table. I believe it was around this time. I can't remember if it was exactly this or not, or maybe it was a question, whatever, but two girls were there from this seminary at the time. And they said to the rabbi, his name was Rabbi Kermeyer, he lives in Neve Yaakov, said, we don't understand. Yishmael, the Gemara says, is judged Basher Husham, as he is right now, not according to what he's going to be. But Yishmael was a Rasha at that moment. Yishmael had just been mitzachik with Yitzchak. And according to Chazal, when we get into the Medrash, it means he was over on Gilui Arayis, he's over on Avodah Zarah, he's over on Shvichus Damim. That's what it says according to the Medrash. According to Rashi, at least, he was shooting at Yitzchak Avinu. Shooting at Yitzchak Avinu. He was without a question a Rasha who was mitzvahic. So the question they asked was, is even if he was judged, Basher Husham, as he was right there at that moment, right there at that moment, forget about everything he would do in the future, at that moment he was a Rasha. He couldn't be a tzaddik at that moment. He wasn't a tzaddik at that moment. Except that they asked. So I thought it was a silly question. And I said that I thought it was a silly question. Right? I said, it doesn't make any sense to me. To me, it made sense that he had done tshuva. That he was sitting under the bushes, sitting in the desert, realized he was dying, knew that he had done bad things, so he looked up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, I feel terrible about what I did. He did his karata. He had his vidui. He said out what he did done wrong, and a couple of lost it. To me, it seemed obvious that that's exactly what happened. That he did tshuva, and he no longer was the same person that he once was. Rabbi Kermeyer argued with me. The girls I didn't care about, but Rabbi Kermeyer argued with me and said to me that when it boils down to it, there's no pasuk that says he did tshuva. There's no pasuk that says that he felt bad about what he did. No karasa, no vidui. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told the malachim that he's being judged by Sher Husham because right now he's a tzaddik. Who says he did tshuva? Now, I took that as a challenge. And I looked up as many sfarim as I possibly could. And I found it in the Moshe of Zakenim, the Baalei Tosfos, the Das Zakenim, as well as a few others on the Panach Raza, the Rabbeinu Ephraim. They all answer in the basic same way. The same way, which is that answer. He did tshuva, he felt bad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that he wouldn't do it if Yitzchak's not around. Whatever you want to say, somehow the answer applies in such a manner where he was there at that time. But this is Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi right there in Rosh Hashanah says the following. Now again, Basher Yerushalmi means you're not being judged over the future. Yerushalmi adds on, this is the line, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer Mehaikra. Yeshua ben Levi adds on from this pasuk, he says the following. In Zach the Yasher Hayisa Ink Sizkan. It doesn't mean they have to be pure and straight in the past. That's not what it means. Rather, Ella in Zach the Yasher Ato Aksha. Are you Zach the Yasher right now? Forget about the future and forget about the past. Right now on Rosh Hashanah, what are you? Are you a tzaddik or are you a rasha? Which one are you? And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you will do. It only matters what you are right there at that moment. You could have been the biggest rasha in the world. You could have been over on Gilead, Shvichas, Dabim, Avodah Zarah. You could be over on all of them. You could be over on other Averos. It doesn't matter. B'shas HaDin, at that moment, are you a tzaddik? If you're a tzaddik, we'll judge you according to right now. And if you're not a tzaddik at this moment, then we're not going to judge you as a tzaddik right now. But it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Then what's din for? All I have to do is fake it. I can do anything I want all year long. I don't even have to accept upon myself not to do anything wrong in the future. All I have to do on Rosh Hashanah is say, right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm here for you. And then forget about this, forget about that. I'm fine, I'm judged. And I'm judged according to what I am right now, and that's that. That's the first thing. Second thing. You're not. There's no vidui or karata or any form of tshuva that we do on Rosh Hashanah. If it is, it's all through like Avinu Malkeinus or something maybe you think on your own. The tefillos do not include a vidui or a karata or anything like that. Every single bit of our tefillah is about a Kadosh Baruch Hu becoming a melech. So what in the world is this whole Yom HaDin have to do with us and Rosh Hashanah? In theory, we should be doing tshuva the whole day in order to be judged favorably. And I realize that the Yom HaDin concludes with Yom Kippur, and that eventually we do tshuva. But that should really be the first thing we're doing. If we're being judged according to where we are at this moment, then I should certainly at this moment do tshuva so that I'm judged correctly, and then continue to do tshuva the whole time until Yom Kippur. Not just deal with Rosh Hashanah as a day itself and then deal with tshuva later on. Tshuva should be the first thing leading into Rosh Hashanah, the famous Shiloh. Shiloh the Beis Yosef. So what do you do then? How in the world could this din have been in the first place? How could this apply? So here's the line. Revolvi speaks about an Ali Shor. The Mechtam Leo has a piece on it that we might go to next week. There's a Rebbe Chanan on it in Kovitz Mamarim. It's all based on the same, revolving around the same idea. Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands as a king in charge of his kingdom. There's a Giloy Shechina that he allows to be shown in the world. Where on Rosh Hashanah you have a feeling. This almost like a hargasha within, from within yourself, where you can feel that Giloy Shechina. You feel it sometimes during Tekiyat Shofar. You feel it sometimes in the middle of Musa. Sometimes you'll feel it in the middle of an Nisan HaTokef. When you feel something, there's a hargasha that comes through. That's called the Giloy Shechina, where Kadosh Baruch Hu is showing himself as the king over the earth and telling everyone, here I am. At that moment, the closer you are to him, the more you've worked on it all year long to become as close as you possibly can to what God is, the more you feel it. The less you've worked on it, and the less you've done anything to prepare yourself for such a moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to appear to you, the less you feel it. It doesn't happen to you as much. You want to be better? You want to have a strong relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We have to build that up. You can't just walk up to the president and just expect to be best friends with him. You can't walk up to me and expect to become best friends with me. You have to work up a relationship with me. I can't just look at a person and automatically decide that it's best friends at first sight. That doesn't happen. You have to build up a relationship and make sure it happens until eventually you can become a really good friend of that guy. Until eventually you can become a protege of that king. Until eventually you have a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You could walk into Rosh Hashanah without any preparation, without anything else, and try to be a tzaddik. But you won't. You won't. You might have a feeling, a little bit of a hargasha, but it's not really there. It won't affect you as much. And if God is looking for a kli, a receptacle, for His shechina to rest upon, looking for someone to be the mishkan, the only mishkan where a Kadosh Baruch Hu's shechina can be there and be a part of you, a part of your lives, without any preparation, there's no way that's going to happen. You won't be able to handle it. You'll brush it off like you would a fly. As if a fly was flying around your head and you just get rid of it completely. I don't want that relationship. I don't want it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. And even when you know it boils down to Yom HaDin, you have that denial. Well, not really Yom HaDin. I really have to be Yom Kippur. I'm not doing Tshuva anyway. What's the big deal? You think really HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging him this day? I don't know too many people who die right after Rosh Hashanah, no matter how evil they are. I know a lot of people that don't keep Rosh Hashanah and yet still nonetheless live pretty seemingly good lives. Those doubts climb in, they creep into your mind, and you can't really get them out, because you can't build a relationship without doing something, without saying something beforehand. You can't just walk in to the king's palace and say you're the king. You've got to build it up. Someone who doesn't feel it at all, who doesn't feel like there's any connection, like there's no relationship, like God means nothing to me, that guy is going to be judged according to the way that he is at that moment. He's not going to be Zocha B'Din. And Zocha B'Din has many different aspects to it. But that is the ultimate din in Rosh Hashanah. Not live or die. That comes with the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. On Rosh Hashanah, it's, are you a kli, a receptacle, that's good enough to be my subject, for my Shechina to go upon you, or not? Are you there or are you not there? And it deals with all the preparation you did beforehand to get to that point. Not necessarily tshuva, but are you a person who likes being with a Kaddish Baruch Hu? You ever heard the Chassam Sofer, the famous Chassam Sofer, what Gehenim and Gan Eden are going to be like? The famous Chassam Sofer says in Parashat Nitzavim that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to pull out the sun minartika, and people are going to sit there. The tzaddikim among us are going to be like, this is the most awesome light in the world. You can feel the Shekhinah burning upon you, and it's going to be awesome. And the Rishayim are going to feel as if the sun is 150 degrees and they're sweating like crazy and they cannot stand it. They just want to get into the shade and there is no shade. And that's Gehenim for the Rishayim and Gehenim for the Tzidikim. It's the same thing. It just depends on how you looked at it. Have you worked on liking the Gemara that you're learning? Or are you just learning it because, you know, you're supposed to learn Gemara. If you're in Yeshiva, you're supposed to learn Gemara. If it's Gehenim sitting through morning Seder, you already know what your Gehenim is going to be. Well, what do you think it's going to be like? Lots of level. You think you're just going to be watching baseball games? Think it's going to be fantasy football all day long up in Shemayim, where everybody is like, you have all the stats and you always win? You think that's what it's going to be like up there? Think of the things that people enjoy in this world and consider, is that really going to be Olam Haba? You'd assume not. It's going to be Rosh Hashanah. So tell me, how do you like Rosh Hashanah? Do you sit there saying, this is boring? A 4.5, 5 hour davening, I can't do this. I can't handle it. How long is the davening? We're dealing with 7:30 until about 1:30. So you're dealing with about that, with a little break in between and before the tekiyas. So if you think that's Gehenna, what do you think life is like when you get up to Shemayim for 120? You think it's going to change? Think all of a sudden everything's going to be different? Oh, don't worry. By that time, I'm going to be okay. You really think so? You really think so? There's no break. There's no bathroom break. There's nowhere to even go. What are you going to do? You're going to walk outside? You're going to walk outside and maybe, like, you know, take a little... It's nothing. There's nothing to do. There's no excuse. Where are you going? I'm going to get a drink and nothing. I don't know. I've got nothing. I've got absolutely nothing. There's nothing there. So what are you supposed to do? It's all dependent on this fact. You have to prepare for it all year long. And especially in Elul, when it boils down to you're sitting there and you're saying, I'm about ready to do it. You learn, you do mitzvot, you do things to prepare yourself to make it easier for you, and then you might become a receptacle. And if not, not. There is no way, no way, you could go the whole year. I don't mean, and I'm not putting down anybody here, okay? Not saying anything. But there is no way that you can listen to the crazy music that's out there, watch movies that everyone knows is coming and everyone knows is wrong. If the movie is past PG, you know it's wrong. Or see something, or just stop, browse through a computer, and be able to walk into Rosh Hashanah and not have those thoughts pop up into your head. You are going to start, you're probably going to be able to concentrate all the way through. You're going to have an awesome Sukkot Zimra, You're going to go through Birkos Kriyashma, and you're going to sit there, Goal Yisrael, and then you are going to be watching movie after movie, in your head, or scene after scene, Escape Baruch Ato Hashem, and you're going to be watching a movie, and your Shmonesh is going to be awesome, because you'll go through three or four or five movies in your head for the first bracha. And that's awesome. Awesome, right? What do you think it's going to be like? Do you think you're going to be able to get into your Shmona Esrei? If you have everything else going on inside you, there's no preparation. You're not ready for it. You haven't gotten there. And now, at least now you're in yeshiva. At least now you're sitting in a place where you should be learning for at least 6, 7, 8 hours a day. At least that's where you're in right now. Imagine when you're not in yeshiva. And you get to learn for 45 minutes to an hour to, if you're the greatest tzaddik in the world, 2 hours. The day. Then what? Then what's going to happen? I mean, I guess numbers are better than videos. I guess that's a little bit better. But what else? What else do you think is going to happen? It's all preparation. What do you consider the ikkar? What do you consider the tuple? And that's what it means. You are not judged based on what you were for the past couple months and all the sins that you did. That is not the judgment that God gives you. You are not judged based on what you're going to be a couple months from now and what you're planning on, anything like that. You are judged based on right now. Are you a receptacle that's able or not? Do you have the ability to sit through a 5.5 hour davening without going crazy and without saying, you know what, I got to do 1.5 hour davening. I'm going to do 1.5 hour davening. I'm going to sleep the rest of the day. That's better for me. What if you're not able to handle that? Well, honestly, what do you want for Olam Haba? I'll just give you 1.5 hours. You can have everything else. You'll have 1.5 hours of Olam Haba, and the rest of it, what are you going to do? You have to build yourself up for it and get yourself ready for it. On Rosh Hashanah, we pass by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, Kivnei Maron. It's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah as well, Yilchat Mabez. And the Gemara says, and we're all judged, B'skira Achas. Kulan Niskarin B'skira Achas. The way Rashi understands it, one glance at everybody, and that's that. One glance at the whole world. There's one glance that's given, because that's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs. He's not looking at your sins. He's not looking at the future. He's looking at you right now. What are you? Are you able or are you not able? That's it. That's the whole judgment. And everything else is just a preparation for up to that point. Everything else is just, are you ready for this one? Your hakhana to get yourself to that place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Megala, his Malchus in the world. In a small version, it's going to be Mashiach as a microcosm of what it's going to be like when Mashiach comes. And the question is, are you ready for it? When Mashiach comes, we all think it's going to be awesome. Mashiach's going to come in, there's going to be a big woo-hoo, right? And everybody's going to gather together. These zombies are going to come up from the ground with these little bony hands, and they're all going to come up, and we're going to go on a crazy eagle ride, right, straight there at the stroll, and everybody's going to find their house. We're not going to have any problems in finding any homes, and we're just going to be perfectly fine. It's going to be moving escalators everywhere, so we don't have to walk anywhere, and everybody's just happy and no issues whatsoever. Everybody will be fine, and the whole rest of the world will blow up, and there's nothing left. So we don't have to worry about football, we don't have to worry about basketball, we don't have to worry about baseball, we don't have to worry about Arabs. They're all gone. Everything's all destroyed. They're all on the same level, and they're all completely gone, right? And we'll be able, and everything's going to be fine. You honestly think that that's going to happen by Mashiach? You know what? I'm scared. I am scared of what's going to be. Because when I get a little feeling on Rosh Hashanah, that tiny little feeling, it's hard to suppress a little bit of a cry. I'm a guy, so I can do it. But it's hard to hold myself back from having a tear or two. It's hard. It's difficult. You hold yourself back. You're trying not to cry because you want to be that guy who's standing up front and showing up so strong. And you're saying, like, I know. But when you get that tiny little feeling, what am I doing with my life? Honestly, what am I doing? Why am I messing up so badly? You sit there and you say that to yourself. You think Mashiach's going to be any different? It's going to be crazy. It's going to be like Bambi's mom dying all over again. You're going to be crying like a little baby. Mashiach's going to come up. He's going to look at you. He's going to say, Hi, Tzvi. What's wrong with you? You're going to go, no. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah is a microcosm of that. It's bringing about Mashiach, and are you ready for it or not? See, it's so sad. I always think to myself, whenever I see the seniors here, who are like, okay, you know, the seniors spend their entire senior year saying, don't worry, I'll go to Israel. Right? That's what they said. I think most of the Rebbeim say that. Don't worry, he's going to Israel. What if Mashiach comes and he doesn't get to go to Israel? He's like, just another year. Wait 1 year and I would be fine. Just right now I'm not okay. That's what Mashiach is going to be like. You're going to sit there, he's going to be there, and you're going to be like, oh no, not now. Not now. I need a little bit more time. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is like. That second of, I need more time. I need to work myself. And that's why we do tshuva afterward. Because you only get that realization once the Gilui Shechina comes in. Once you get that Gilui Shechina, the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to you, and you realize how messed up you are, and how much you have to work on, and what you have to do to yourself, that's when you can really do tshuva. First you have to have the realization, the hakara, just the recognition that you aren't what you think you are. And then you can possibly work on yourself and make yourself a little bit better. What am I ready for it, am I not? And if you're confident, absolutely confident, that I know when the Shia comes, I'm going to be fine. I know when Rosh Hashanah comes and I get that feeling inside my heart, everything's going to be fine. Then come to me, I will tell you what's wrong with you. And I will tell you what you can do to work on yourself to get yourself to the point where that won't be an issue. That's that. I'll do it in a nice way. I'm not going to do it in a mean way. There might be a little bit of sarcasm involved just because of my way. But nonetheless, that's it. Are you prepared for it or are you not? It's not about anything else other than that. Hopefully, we realize that we're not prepared for it. And hopefully, we utilize that Seretz Mechuvah to get ourselves to the next level. And hopefully, are you by Yom Kippur time, we have a concrete plan of how we want to bring ourselves to the level that we want to be at. We have those 10 days, including those two of Rosh Hashanah, to be able to think to ourselves, what's the plan, where do I want to go, and how should I be misadar? How should I get myself used to it?